Today, Pastor Ray Bentley explains how to impact your family for the Lord.
You can be the one that changes the course direction of your whole family line in a whole new direction. All it takes is one member of a family to believe God, to follow the word of the Lord, to walk in obedience, to claim the promises of God, and God, He will begin working on the rest of the family. So let it be you.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. There are countless stories of families who were far from God, until one day, in one moment, one member of the family meets the Lord, and then regeneration starts spreading like wildfire. Well, today, from the book of Joshua, Pastor Ray brings inspiration on how we can find a new start.
Okay, let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to tell the story, finally, of the children of Israel. After 40 years in the wilderness, today they actually cross the Jordan River. And we're going to talk about it, tell the story, and make some simple life applications for you and me. So here's the first life lesson. Life is always opening new and unexpected things for us. Father God had a tremendous inheritance to give his children, but it was now time for them to put their feet down, to get their feet wet and begin marching forward and moving forward in order to experience it. And this time, encouraged by the report of the two spies that went into Jericho, found Rahab, came back, and told Joshua, wow, God has gone before us. The people here are terrified. They've heard of our God and what you did to Pharaoh and what happened in Egypt and in the wilderness and the miracles. And Joshua knew, this is the good news we've been waiting for. And so at dawn, early in the morning, Joshua was instructed, early in the morning, get everybody up, all 2 million of them, in order that they could watch the Ark of the Covenant being carried on the shoulders of the priests. I love that image, because the ark represents where God sits, his throne. So the ark went first into the Jordan River, and when the priests went in and their feet touched the river, then the miracle would happen. The waters would step back and dry land. The people were to follow the ark about a half mile behind it until the miracle happened, and then they were to cross the other side, and then the priests would cross to the other side, and finally Joshua himself. So what the Lord wanted them to know is, for you have never been where you are going now. You're going to some new things. And I want you to know this, as long as you keep God number one in your life and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. God will constantly have new and unexpected things for you. The Israelites had followed the cloud in the wilderness. Now they would follow the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the manifest presence of God. And the long journey in the wilderness is now behind them. And the beautiful mystery of a new country and a new life is now before them. And so I love this life lesson. Every time one season ends, it is the beginning of a new season. Life always has a way of bringing new and unexpected things to us. Look with me at verses 4 through 7 of the story as it continues on. Verse 4 says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, so that this may be a sign among you. Why? When your children ask you in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for us a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So here's the life lesson that I want to bring out of that. We all need memorial stones to pass on to the next generation. God wants every one of you to have your own memorial stone where you have heard God. You have had an answer to prayer. You have seen salvation break out in your family, where you have cried out to the Lord and he touched you or he healed you. And we need to have, as parents and this living generation, we need to have our own stones, or as it were, our own stories to pass on to the next generation and tell them, look, this is not, yeah, you, so we brought you to church and you had to go to Sunday school and you weren't given a choice. So we brought you, but we put you in the Christian school and, you know, someday you're going to grow up and you're going to go to college and you're going to think, they were nice and they meant well, but hey, the world's got a lot of other things and I want to see and explore what they think and, you know, the world and trying to choose all of that. We need stories that we can pass on that are personal, that are testimonies. We can say, no, you need to understand something. God is real. And he hears our prayers, and he answers us. Because if you lose your way, and this is what happened in the future, Israel, they forgot who they were, they forgot where they came from, they lost their identity, they started mingling in with the worldly ways of all of the other cultures, philosophies, ways of living, morality, and didn't know that demons were infested in the whole thing. And little by little, they started getting chipped away, and they lost ground, and they lost battles, and then they started losing their territory, and the next thing you know, they became slaves again, all over again in Babylon. They repeated their history. So God is wanting to protect us. Now look with me in verses 8 and 9. We go into the next part of the story. It says, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and he took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones. Now listen to this. So there's one set of 12 stones on the other side of the river after the miracle. But verse 9, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River. Now remember, it's a dry riverbed where God parted it. So he put another pile of stones in the middle of the Jordan River, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So here's the next life lesson. Some memorial stones need to be buried at the bottom. This must have seemed like a strange thing for the leader Joshua to do, because what happened is the priests who had the Ark of the Covenant, their feet, when they touched the river, then it's the miracle happened. So they walked into the midst of the Jordan River, and now it's dry. And while they're there, they pile up 12 stones. Why? It was to remind them that God alone had opened the Jordan River and brought them safely across. But even more importantly, this symbolizes a break with the past. They were never to go backwards, neither to the desert, where they had perished for 40 years, or after 40 years, nor back to Egypt. And yet, as you read through the story of the Old Testament, they were constantly, when things got tough, let's go back. Let's go back to the desert. Let's go back to Egypt. What? No, God never wants us to go backwards. In fact, there's a phrase in the Bible that's described. Have you ever heard the phrase of a backslidden person? It's somebody who even has experienced a miracle, but they've forgotten about it, and they turned around, and they went backwards. They went back into the desert. Or if they went further back, they went to Egypt, where they were formerly slaves, and addictions, and demons, and all of the infestation that happened there. So the monument at the bottom of the river reminded them that their old life was buried, and they were to walk in newness of life. So when the children of a future generation would ask them about the stones at Gilgal, the parents would explain the miracle of crossing the Jordan River. But they would then add, but there is another monument of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River, my son, my daughter, that you don't see. It's where the priest stood, where the Ark of the Covenant was. You can't see it, but I'm telling you it's there. And if you want to jump into the river and dive to the bottom, you can touch those stones. It reminds us that our old life is buried, and we must now live a new life, a new land, in a new direction, marching forward in faith, because God has a glorious new inheritance for us, and a new identity, a new power, a new authority, a new glory that goes along with that. When you identify with Jesus Christ, You bury your past. You bury the old ways. You bury the old methods. You dig up those skeletons, and the demons will come back, and you will lose. So we want to continue marching forward. Amen? Okay, look at me, verses 10 through 14. It says in verse 10, "So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over." Man, I bet they did. Whoo, finally, we get to go into the promised land. Verse 11, "And then it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho." That's going to be the first conquering conquest of a city, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. But verse 14, "On that day," listen to this, "the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life." Here's the life lesson from that. On that day, the day of the miracle of the parting of the Jordan River, Joshua truly became the leader in the eyes of Israel. Now, the truth of the matter is, he'd already been the leader since Moses had died earlier than that. Joshua was always with Moses. And then finally, Moses said, "Look, I'm going to die. This is the guy, and you're going to follow him and listen to him, and God will speak to him." So Moses died, and then there was Joshua, and he leads him right up to the Jordan River. But apparently, in their eyes, they did not look at Joshua the same way they had looked at Moses. Joshua is this big. Nothing special. Moses was like, "Moses." Said his name almost like with reverence. Why? Because God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. That didn't happen to nobody other than Moses. Because Moses raised up his rod and the Red Sea parted so we could go across. Moses called to God and bread rained from heaven in the wilderness. He struck a rock and water gushed out to quench the thirst of hundreds of thousands of people. The sovereign, supernatural glory of God was with Moses. What has Joshua done? No miracles, no power. He's just the new appointed guy until this day. Because everything they did that day was according to the word of Joshua, and everything Joshua said was according to the word he heard from God. He told them when to go to the river at dawn, right in the beginning of the day. And then he told them how to go. "You guys stay back, the 12 tribes, a half a mile behind the ark." He told the priests, "The miracle's not going to happen, and then we walk over. God told me this time we're a little grown up now, and so he wants us to participate in the miracle. So he's going to wait till the priests put their feet carrying the ark. When they put their feet in the Jordan, then he'll roll it back and the miracle will happen." And sure enough, so everybody's waiting, wondering. There's no staff like Moses, and they're walking going, "Are we going to get swept away with this thing or what?" And they put their feet, and as the priests walked into the Jordan River, all of a sudden, God parts it. And they're looking around, they're going, "Whoo!" And then the priests stand in the midst and it becomes dry. And then the people are like, "Run!" And they all, 2 million of them, cross on the other side. As soon as they cross, then the priests who are standing there, they pile up another 12 stones that'll be at the bottom of the river. And then quickly they walk out. And as soon as the feet or the soles of the priests touch the promised land out of the Jordan River, the waters come back in. And the whole nation is watching it and they go, "Wow! The same miraculous God that was with Moses is with this guy, Joshua." And that's why I put in your notes Joshua chapter 4, verse 14, and another version. It's CJB, which is the Complete Jewish Bible. Kind of gives a little more Jewish flavor to what happened that day. Listen, "That day Adonai made Yehoshua," Joshua, "great in the full view of Israel. They were, from that day and that miracle on, in awe of him, just as they had been in awe of Moshe all his life." Now, to take that from Moses to Joshua to you and me, I want to say this. All it takes is one person, one member of a family, to believe God, to follow the word of the Lord, to walk in obedience, to claim the promises of God, and God will intervene. He will begin working on the rest of the family. You may say, my parents didn't even believe in God. They didn't send us to church. I don't have any history. I have no background of faith or anything. I'm the first one. That's all it takes. Because when you follow God and you get your feet wet and you start following God, you can change what has been generationally darkness and a curse into a new blessing. And the rest of your family will go, man, there's something special about that guy. I'm following him. And it has influence. You can be the one that changes the course direction of an entire, your whole family line can begin going in a whole new direction. So let it be you. All right, let's go to the last verses, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. It says, then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. They all witnessed it and saw it. That's God. Now the people came in from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, hey, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So ultimately, when you follow God and then your family begins to follow, you set a brand new course. So here's the last life lesson. Because we are identified with Jesus Christ through baptism into his death, burial, and resurrection, we have overcoming power. We want to be able to remind the next generation that what God has done in the past, they are encouraged that he can do for you. He can do for us. He can do from now on, in the present and in the future. God brings us out that he might bring us in. He not only brought us out of the world, he brought us into the kingdom. He not only brought us out of Egypt, he brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. So if we want to receive our godly, supernatural inheritance, we have to choose individually for ourselves, I'm going to believe the word of God, listen for the word of God, follow closely his instruction to me, because I not only want to be blessed, I want my whole family and all who walk with me also to be blessed. And God will go before you, and he will bring you into a new way. And he will bring you into new lands and into a new territory. And it will literally begin being like heaven on earth. Look with me at this last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Let's read this scripture out loud together. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. How many of you don't want to just wait till you get to heaven to experience it, but you wouldn't mind a little heaven right here, right now on earth? So I say to all of us and to all generations here, God is real. He's not only the creator. He's not just standing back watching us on our own. He is engaged like a dad. And he has an inheritance for us. And we've got to walk and follow him, get our feet wet, take steps of faith. We need to have some stones of remembrance. And realize the whole thing is real. The spiritual is real. The supernatural is real. The Holy Spirit is real. Spiritual battle is real. I don't care what the enemy does to discourage us. We're going deeper, 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 farther, 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 closer, closer, closer. And God's glory is going to come manifest. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us. I'm excited for this time. I've never been as excited as I am now. And looking forward to it. And so I want our kids to know that we're not just going through the motions. This is real. This is literally heaven on earth. And God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Amen. An exciting new season is ahead for us. But maybe you're not yet a believer, and you're wondering, well, what must I do? And where is Jesus in relation to an unbeliever? I'll tell you right where he is. He's with you. And he's standing and knocking at the door of your heart. But I love it that he's a gentleman. He knocks. And if you open the door, he says, I'll come in. No human being was ever meant to live alone on the inside. You were never meant to live in your own strength, your own abilities, your own power. But we were made to be one with our Creator. So in absence of that, there's not only the guilt for things we've done wrong and for our sins, but there's a loneliness and an emptiness. So you say, well, I get it. And so, I'm ready. I'd love to be forgiven. I'd like my guilt taken away, and I don't want to be lonely. And yes, I'd like to be saved. What do I do? We're going to say a very simple prayer. Maybe if you've been backslidden, you've been going the wrong direction, well, you can repent. And repent means turn around. Turn around, face the Lord, and refresh your heart to him. But I'm telling you this, if you say it, he's going to take you serious. He will come in, and he'll forgive you, and he'll give you eternal life, and he'll give you his Holy Spirit, and he has a plan for you, and that life will begin to unfold, and you will not be the same person. So if you're willing, pray with me out loud after this manner. Dear Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness for all of my sins, all of my pride, all my foolishness and selfishness. Forgive me. I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Lord and Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of eternal life. Now help me follow you, Jesus, all the way to heaven, until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, praying an important prayer to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to be a believer, we invite you to go to our website, maranatharadio.com, and then click the words Knowing God. Pastor Ray has some important things he wants to share with you. Again, you'll find that at maranatharadio.com. Now, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Today We Cross Over, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Today We Cross Over. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.